I've talked to you about what to present this morning. I pray that what I share is helpful to the congregation and that when we are faced with a loss, we stay in close conversation with you. Amen. So apparently when you lose your place in your music, singing blah, blah, blah probably isn't the best bet. Sorry about that. At least you had the correct words up on the screen. So maybe you've nudged your spouse this morning and said, "Did you see that the sermon is about grief and loss? I told you we should have slept in today." Well, I'm not going to tell you this will be a lively presentation, but it really isn't all that dark, and hopefully you'll find it helpful now or sometime in the future. At various times in our life, we all deal with loss and grief. So I feel this subject applies to everyone. It's a subject we can try to ignore, but it isn't a subject you can forever ignore. I've divided my talk into two segments. I'll start by talking about you dealing with loss. My examples will involve death, but many of the suggestions apply to other types of loss, loss of job, divorce, etc. Next, I'll talk about how to provide support to others that are experiencing loss. I'll also hang around a bit after the service if you have a question about something I said. I can't counsel you on your grief, but I'm pretty knowledgeable about my own words. I mentioned providing suggestions. I'm a firm believer that everyone, and I mean everyone, grieves differently, uniquely. I don't think there are any surefire solutions for dealing with loss. Think of my suggestions as tools. Some tools may be appropriate for you and other tools not so much. So, personal grief, when you are the victim of loss. Here are the subjects I'll be touching on. Faith, scripture, family, friends, counseling, structure, balance and pace, stages of grief. Now, faith is two-pronged, your faith and the faith of the person that died. I'll reference my personal experience frequently. Betsy was a Christian. I know that she's in heaven. That's obviously helped me with my grief quite a bit. I read several books on dealing with grief to help me. One of the books said basically that if your loved one is in heaven, it's natural to miss them and missing the experiences you would have had together. However, they actually don't miss being on earth. As much as they loved you and being with you, heaven is so fantastic. If given the chance to return to earth, they wouldn't come back. I found that perspective to be very helpful. But be careful. I know that some people are offended by that perspective. I wouldn't tell you that I'm right or they're wrong. I try to respect their perspective and hope that they respect mine. On the other side of the coin, if you don't know if your loved one's in heaven, I really don't know what to say. There's no sugarcoating. It's black and white. There's heaven and there's hell. Now, what about your faith? I was fortunate. I didn't think that Betsy's death was part of a punishment. I didn't think she was taken to heaven by God or that her death was part of God's plan. Nothing like that. We live in a broken world. Cancer is part of that brokenness. I think that God grieves with me over Betsy's death. I never got mad at God or blamed God for Betsy's death. If you feel differently, and there are people that do, I'd suggest you spend time in conversation with God. Conversations mean talking and listening. I don't mean to make it sound simple. I know that it isn't. I look at God as my partner, helping me develop and adjust to my new normal. And new normal is definitely a term that I like. Additionally, I feel that God wanted me to learn from the experience of Betsy's illness and death. Now, I don't feel that he caused her death so that I could learn lessons. But I do think he wants us to continually learn and mature regardless of our circumstances. I feel that he and I make me not just a different person, but a better person. I want to be clear. I didn't say I'm better off without Betsy. I don't need wrath of Betsy coming down on me, okay? I said I could be a better person based on my experiences and how God and I use those experiences. Also, I don't think something good can always come out of something bad, but I think if we work with God, good things can be derived from bad things more often than not. So, Scripture. Because of where I was at with my faith, I actually didn't find Scripture overly helpful. Now, that's certainly not the case for everyone. I'd suggest that the more struggles you are having from a faith perspective, the more you need Scripture. Now, before Pastor Debbie throws me out, I do have some Scripture passages to share with you. Joshua 1:9, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Now, the verse doesn't say, don't mourn. It doesn't say you shouldn't be sad. The definition of discouraged is having lost confidence or enthusiasm, disheartened. This verse spoke to me and told me not to lose hope and reminded me that, again, God is my partner while I mourn. You'll note that this isn't a suggestion. It's a command. The fact that it was a command from God was really important to me. Romans 8:28, "And we know in all things God works for the good of those that love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Now, I think this verse is really tricky. The interpretation of God works is really important. Was Betsy's death for the good of those that love him? Of course not. But then, I don't think God caused Betsy to die. It wasn't one of his works. Now, here's a different translation of the same passage. "And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them." Let me read that first section again. "And we know that God causes everything to work together." I'm really emphasizing this. I look at God again as my partner. I could never have gotten through this without him. But if I do my part, I know that God will help me to have a good life. It won't be the same life I had before Betsy died. No. That life is gone. But if I give him the chance and I trust him, I feel he'll lead me to have a good life. I also feel strongly that I have to do my part. Mourn is a verb. It requires action. Somewhere there's a grammar teacher of mine smiling. Yeah, there she is. Here's the final passage I want to share with you. 2 Timothy 1:7. "For God has given us the spirit of," says not, "given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind." Fear. Do people experiencing loss have fear? Absolutely. How about the fear of no companionship, the fear of financial struggles, the fear of no more vacations or get-togethers with friends that are all couples? The list of fears can be pretty lengthy. These are real concerns. But of the many gifts God has given us, fear isn't one of them. So we combat the fears we have with what God has given us. He's given us his love. We may have lost a loved one, but we haven't lost his love. Will always be his child. Here's a quote I like. "Trust God to exchange pain for blessing." And a sound mind. Well, it doesn't always feel very sound when dealing with grief. God gave us our mind, though, and he expects us to use it. Our mind is a tool, and we need to put it to good use. Here's one last faith quote. "Don't dwell on problems, dwell on promises." I think that's nice. I'll touch briefly on the rest of the topics. You need support. I think it's pretty rare when someone successfully works through grief all by themselves. Your faith and God provide support, sure. Family can be a great source of support. Keep in mind, though, that as much as your family wants to support you, they are also grieving, and everyone grieves differently. Also, for me, my grief style clashed with some family members. I had some great support from some family members and almost none from others. I was thankful for the good support I did have. I look at support from friends similarly as support from family. Some friends will give you just what you need. Some friends may seem to disappear from your life. I'll come back to this when I talk about how to support someone that's grieving. Both family and friends may wonder how much you want to talk about your loved one, the actual death, how you are doing. It's a good idea to come right out and communicate your comfort level. I told my friends it's okay to mention Betsy in conversation, to tell me that you just thought about her. In essence, I gave them permission to talk about Betsy around me. I gave that same permission to my coworkers. I also warned them that they might come around the corner and find me crying. I told them to try and not feel awkward about that. Just give me about 30 seconds and then come back. I happen to be a quick crier. 10 to 15 seconds, that's usually my max. I know someone else that was just the opposite. She sent her coworkers an email telling them that she'd never be able to perform her job if they ask her about her grief. The key is, both of us communicated our level of comfort. I think that counseling is always helpful. We have our Stephen Ministries program here. There's also professional group counseling and individual counseling. I had 4 different counseling experiences myself. At one point, I remember being frustrated and telling my counselor, I think I'm ready to be moving forward, but I just seem stuck in place. The counselor responded by saying that I may feel I'm ready to move forward, but God knows that I'm not ready to move forward. And that gives the appearance of being stuck. It was a thoughtful piece of advice that, to be honest, I probably would have ignored had it not come from a professional. As a result of my experiences with grief, I now volunteer with the grievance team at Hospice of Central Pennsylvania. Hospice of Central Pennsylvania does offer grievance support to anyone experiencing loss, regardless if with you used hospice services or not. Experts advise that attempting to keep a consistent structure is helpful for most people. My life at home had changed drastically. Going to work was a healthy and consistent diversion from my grief. Allow yourself time to recover before making significant life changes. Balance and pace. I've spoken to people that have had family members say things like, "Aren't you over that yet?" I remind you that everyone grieves uniquely. I'd suggest you trust yourself. Go back to work. Restart your volunteering. Come to church, etc., on your terms. Others, meanwhile, by encouraging you to be yourself again, but only you really know where you're at with your grief. You may have heard that you should stay busy while working through your grief. Well, one of the books I read warned against staying busy. If you keep yourself busy, you might be too busy to deal with your grief, which can be a real problem. So strive for balance with some alone time to grieve, getting support from your friends and family, and getting involved in activities that you enjoy. You may have heard about the stages of grief and that everyone must experience each stage to successfully grieve. Well, some experts don't feel that everyone goes through all the stages. I wouldn't be concerned if you don't experience each stage. Okay, moving on to how to support a family member or friend. This is difficult because everyone grieves differently, and we don't typically have insight as to what our friends and family need. Keeping that in the back of your mind, here are my topics. Communicate love, actively provide support, and no stereotypes. I'm going to reference support to a surviving spouse in my examples, but you can substitute any person that is grieving a loss. I'll start by stating what should be obvious. This isn't about the deceased, and it's not about you. It's about supporting the survivor. So, how do you communicate your love? You could send a text, send an email, send a card through the mail. You could also send a gift. Well, what should I say? My best advice is to be honest. I was at the grocery store today, saw the Texas toast. It reminded me of the time I had you guys over and burned the dinner. I really miss Betsy. I'm praying for you. Or maybe, I know that today's Betsy's birthday. I'm thinking and praying for you. If you're thinking about the deceased, let the survivor know. Times you spent together, birthdays, wedding anniversary, anniversary of the death, you name it. A few months after Betsy died, I had a pretty big realization. I became aware that I needed to know that Betsy was still relevant in people's lives. I still have that need today. Being remembered is nice, but still being relevant is at a whole different level. She was and is certainly still relevant in my life, and I needed to know that others felt the same way. So contact from friends and family, like I just described, is very important. Here are the cards I received after Betsy died. This is called a visual aid. Okay? They are tangible. As they came in, I set them on the dining room table. After a while, it was time to take them down. But before I put them away, I reread a couple every day. Around the 6-month time, I got them all out again and reread again a few every day. I found it very meaningful when someone wrote a personal note in the card. Actively provide support. Now I'm referring to a conversation, a phone call. Ask the person out to eat or invite them to do something socially with you. If you're unsure about what level to be at, don't guess. Ask permission. Do you want to talk about how you've been doing, or should we talk about the Phillies? Like anyone would want to talk about the Phillies. Those last weeks must have been hard. Do you want to talk about that? Or maybe just, we haven't had a chance to talk for a while. Do you feel like talking tonight? If you're in the should I call, shouldn't I call mode, I'd suggest calling. I doubt that anyone gets too much support. Now, I'm sure there are some folks that need their alone time, but they can just not answer the phone. Or if you ask permission, can say, I really don't feel like talking. Here's a recommendation you can take to the bank. Never start a sentence with, at least. At least you still have your brothers. At least she didn't suffer much. Those statements might be true, but the phrase at least subliminally minimizes the grief. Let the survivor make those statements, and then you can be supportive and agree. Yes, I'm also glad she didn't suffer much. My suggestions that you ignore stereotypes shouldn't be a surprise because everyone grieves differently. Don't assume that females can't wait to talk about their grief or that guys don't cry. Also, grief is not linear. There are good days and bad days. Father's Day, Mother's Day, holidays, birthdays, wedding anniversaries, anniversary of the death, anniversary of a difficult diagnosis can all be very challenging. Grief definitely does not get better every day, but over time, things should get better. If they don't, I would definitely suggest some counseling. Sharing my thoughts about grief is something I've had on my mind for a while. I hope that some of what I've shared will be useful to you now or sometime in the future. Again, if you have a question about something I've said, I'll be around after the service. And lastly, last week when I made one of my phone calls for hospice, a woman told me that someone at her church spoke about their grief and she just couldn't take it. It was a horrible experience for her. So, if you're at the point where hearing what I shared today was difficult, I'm truly sorry. Please join me in prayer. Lord, at some point in our lives, we all deal with losing people we are close to, people we love. Sometimes dealing with loss tests our faith. Sometimes it strengthens our faith. Regardless of the circumstances, there is one constant. None of us deal with it very well. Help us to use all the tools you've given us, especially conversation with you, to help us deal with loss. Amen.